What do you call a beautiful canyon?
I don't know what.
Gorgeous.
You're tuning into the Children's Hour. This is K89.9, KUNM, and KUNM.org, live and local from the University of New Mexico.
Children's Hour right here on KUNM. Good morning. This is Katie Stone, and we've got a nice studio full of kids. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone.
There's no sunshine when she's gone. Anyway, that happens, I think, when the sun goes away. Speaking of the sun going away, let's start here.
Maybe the song is about his wife having a night shift, so she's not there when the sun is down.
hey.
Dun, dun, dun.
Or maybe it's about an eclipse.
Or it's just about a night shift lady.
All right, Maggie.
Maggie, saying all the logic and things.
Thank you, Maggie. Logic. It explains all music. Let's start over on this side. You want to say who you are? Come around the room. Hi, good morning.
Hi, I'm Jude. Hi, I'm Liliana.
Wahaha! I'm the evil vampire Imogene.
Oh no.
Hi, I'm Elliot.
Hi, I'm Siobhan.
Hi, I'm Phoebe.
Hello, Taylee.
Hi, I'm Ian.
Hello, I'm Maggie.
Hi, I'm Anna.
Hi, it's Madeline.
Hi, I'm Iris.
Hi, I'm Julia.
Hi, I'm Katie. And Mark's here at the board with me. And it is so great. And Anna's here somewhere. Wait, did we get it? Oh, there you are. Sorry. It's a morning. It's a great day on the Children's Hour today because we're going to talk about something. And I just want to ask the crew here, a place called Chaco Canyon. Heard of it?
Yeah, I've been there.
Been there.
It's really fun.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Is it really fun?
It's really fun.
Have you been there, Katie?
I have been there. I have camped there. I love Chaco Canyon. And I have for years wanted everyone in the listening audience to know more about Chaco Canyon. Today we're going to do that because Chaco Canyon is a place here in New Mexico, for those of you listening online from elsewhere. It's a World Heritage Site. UNESCO, UN something, something, something. Anyway, it's a UN World Heritage Site, which, you know, there's only 22, 23 in the United States, and three of them are in the state of New Mexico, and Chaco Canyon is one of them.
Wow.
And that what that means is that the world decided collectively that this is a place that is so special to our collective human history, it must be preserved. And did you know it's like 2 hours from Albuquerque? It's so close. And so we want you to know more about Chaco Canyon and learn all about that. And then I hear there's something happening on Monday. Everybody keeps like, I don't know.
The eclipse.
What? So we have to find out all about the eclipse, of course, which is happening on Monday. It's the eclipse. We're just going to call it the eclipse.
The eclipse.
Until the next one. And we'll call that one the eclipse. And speaking of eclipse, have you ever noticed there ain't no sunshine when there's an eclipse, Maggie? Or is it some lady working the night shift?
Probably both. It's the sun working a night shift. And everyone's like, dang it, it went on its night shift.
Why did the sun's not supposed to have a night shift?
But then it goes to the other side of the planet for us as a night shift.
I have news for you, Mags.
What?
And for all of you, the sun isn't revolving around the Earth.
We're going around it.
We're going around the sun.
I know.
The sun actually never rises. Isn't that sad?
We rise.
We spin.
No, we fall while it rises.
We fall.
We're just like, bruh.
We should just call it happy good morning. It's the Earth has risen again.
Good morning. The Earth is falling.
Don't panic.
The Earth is falling.
We've been falling your entire life. Okay. Well, you're tuned to the Children's Hour. In case you can't tell, this is KUNM broadcasting live from atop of Oñate Hall on the campus of the University of New Mexico. Let's give our listeners a great good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Bye, sir. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away. I wonder this time where she's gone. Wonder if she's gone to stay. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away, and I know. Sunshine when she's gone. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. Only darkness every day. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes.
sunshine does go away, and it's because the ladies work in the night shift. According to Maggie, you are tuned to the Children's Hour right here on KUNM. And there is a magical place in New Mexico. If you live here, you've heard about it a lot. If you don't live here, maybe you've never heard about it. It's called the Chaco Canyon National Historical Park. And how to describe Chaco? I'm going to leave that to our guests. We have Dabney Ford. She's a retired archaeologist, worked at Chaco Canyon for 33 years. Welcome to the Children's Hour.
Hi.
And we have Hillary Grabowska, who is currently a park ranger at Chaco Canyon. Good morning, Hillary.
Hello.
And we have Wendy Bustard. She's a museum curator at Chaco. Hi,
Chaco.
Wendy.
Good morning.
And we have Brenna Lissaway. She's an archivist.
Good morning, Katie.
Do we say archivist or archivist?
Archivist.
Okay, an archivist with Chaco Canyon. And Rowan is here. Where are you, Rowan? Rowan, hi.
I'm here.
Rowan, come running in. Hi, Rowan. Come on up to the mic. Rowan is here. He is a junior ranger as part of Chaco Canyon. And I take it, Rowan, have you gotten any kind of badge or anything for being a junior ranger?
Yes.
Okay, will you tell us more about that in a little bit? Just in a little bit.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Owen's here. Rowan is here. Great to have you all. Thank you so much for being with us on the Children's Hour, you all. And if you were listening to this and you're listening, say, from New Zealand, and you don't know what Chaco Canyon is, how do you describe Chaco Canyon?
Well, our museum describes it as the center of the center.
I tell you, I was just telling the kids before we came on the air that when I go to Chaco, I feel like I'm at a place where there's a portal to another dimension. And if I just keep looking, I'll find the portal. It is so magical. All right. But other than a center of the center, how would you describe Chaco?
Well, we've got a huge collection of archaeological sites, and these were the largest buildings in what would become the United States until the mid-1800s, and construction started in 850.
Whoa. Wow. And why? Why Chaco? It is located in a very funny place. I mean, it's not on a river, and it's not, like, it's not on the ocean. So why? It's kind of, I mean, I hate to say this, but it's sort of in the middle of nowhere, and yet it's clear, and you'll tell us more about this, that it really was the center of an ancient civilization. Why that location? And it is located, for those of you who want to go find it on your map, it's located northwest of Albuquerque, about 100 and something miles?
A little over 100.
Why there?
Well, archaeologists have no idea why there. It's probably our most vexing question, because if you need water, there's a little bit, but not much. If you need good soils for growing, there's some soils, but it's not very good. And if you want to be, you're kind of in the middle of everything as it is today, but yet surrounding you is a lot of empty country. So we don't know, other than it's a spectacular spot, and it may have meaning that's much deeper than those really functional, growing, agricultural sorts of things.
Can you talk about that a little bit? Like, we do know that Chaco has a lot of rooms. It seems like thousands of people must have lived there. Did thousands of people really live there?
Well, it has a lot of rooms, hundreds, thousands of buildings. But we don't think every single room was full of a family. Some people think that no one really called Chaco home, but you came and went. Maybe that's kind of an extreme thought. Some people think that there was sort of a maintenance level population that stayed there and took care of these thousands and thousands of rooms. Others think at times there may have been big groups of people in there and then vacated for periods of time.
Anybody want to add? So that's what you would describe. So Chaco Canyon would describe as a collection of ruins of these sort of like mini little cities, almost like, or mini little towns of thousands of rooms each. And they have ceremonial sites. We know that they have kivas. But there's also a pretty magical thing about Chaco when it comes to astronomy. Anybody want to kick that around? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I drove down from Chaco this morning, so I left at 5 a.m.
Oh, thank you so much.
And it was wonderful because I was able to look up and see the Milky Way. And, you know, majority of Americans can't see the Milky Way because majority of Americans are living in the cities today. And so we're a designated dark sky park. And so we've got some of the darkest skies.
It's so beautiful there at night. It really is like you could step into the universe. But I thought also Chaco itself was sort of an astronomical. Explain that piece. It's actually, isn't it mapping astronomy somehow? And I didn't always 100% understand this, although there's an excellent movie that explains it really well. But can you explain it to our listeners?
Well, the buildings are positioned on the landscape in a very precise way. And we argue about how precise that is, but they're positioned themselves, but they're also oriented to solar and lunar events. And it's not unlike what we do today. When you want solar gain, you orient houses and windows to the south, depending on where you're living. So there's sort of a functional aspect to it, but they're also positioned and oriented in an entire landscape for 50,000 square miles. I mean, it's in a gigantic landscape, and there's a sense to that. There's a interconnectedness to that landscape.
So it almost had like city planning.
Yeah, that's
to
right.
Make this happen, someone had to plan this out.
We think so.
And then there's also the sun dagger business and the moon dagger business, and I definitely want to go into that more. You're listening to the Children's Hour right here on KUNM, and in the studio are experts on Chaco Canyon, including Dabney Ford, who you just heard. She's a retired archaeologist, worked up there for 33 years. Hilary Grabowska, you heard from Park Ranger up in Chaco. Wendy Bustard's here, museum curator. We're going to talk more about what the collection in the museum with Brenna Lisaway, who's the archivist. And Rowan's in here, too. He's going to talk about being a junior ranger. But Maggie, you had a question. Go for it.
Is the canyon chocolate or anything related to that?
Yeah, Chaco, chocolate.
Actually, it is related to chocolate, but not as you think.
Don't eat the ruins.
No, I could talk later about a researcher here from UNM campus discovered that the people 1,000 years ago were making and drinking chocolate.
Well, this is one of the things I want to get into, and we're going to come back with our folks from Chaco Canyon. But when you're hiking in Chaco Canyon and you're walking around, you sure get a sense that you are not the footsteps of where you're walking. In fact, one of my favorite parts about Chaco Canyon is climbing up to the mesa above. So the Chaco Canyon is really located in a very wide canyon, and there's sort of a mesa canyon sides. Then, and there are actually ancient stairwells carved into these sides of these canyons. And as you're hiking around, all of a sudden you realize, oh, wow, I can just go up and there's handholds and little stairs. And it is pretty darn amazing to feel like you're walking in the path of people from thousands of years ago. But here's what's so crazy about Chaco. When you talked about it being the center of things, how far away do we know that people came to Chaco? And where did they come from?
Well, we know that they had a large trade network. So Wendy mentioned the chocolate. Chocolate is not native to this area. So they were trading with the people in Central America to bring in chocolate and macaws and, you know, throughout the entire Southwest as well for seashells, which came from the Pacific Ocean, and turquoise. So this was, today it seems like it's in the middle of nowhere because it's a long drive to get to it. But then it was a happening place.
Amazing. It must have been so amazing to be the one who discovered macaw feathers in Chaco Canyon. Because for those of you who don't live in New Mexico, macaws, and for kids, macaws are those beautiful parrots, multicolored parrots. You've seen them at the zoo. They don't live here. In fact, they don't live really anywhere near here. They live like 1,000 miles south of here. So whoever brought those macaw feathers came a very, very long way.
And they didn't just bring feathers. They brought the actual birds. And we have evidence of the birds living in Pueblo Bonito, for example. So they were able to keep a tropical bird alive in our climate. You know what our climate's like. It's crazy.
Yeah. Non-New Mexicans, our climate is we're at 5,000 feet in Albuquerque, and most of the state is up high like this. And so we do have winter here. It is not like people think of us like Arizona. Oh, it's hot all the time. Actually, that's not true. We have winter. We have all four seasons, and it can be very harsh in the winter, especially in a place like Chaco, which is so open to the west and gets really nasty storms. You guys get pretty bad storms out there in Chaco Canyon sometimes.
We get quite a bit of snow. We had snow in May this year.
Wow. Wow. We're talking with the folks from Chaco Canyon. We're going to come back to them. And just wanted to play a little of this. Robert Mirabal has written an ode to Chaco. And a lot of the music about Chaco is similar to this. And take a listen. This is the Children's Hour right here on KUNM.
Thank you.
from his CD Warrior Magician, Robert Mirabal, with the memoir Chaco. And in fact, someone's got the flute in this room. I guess flutes were played in Chaco Canyon, and we're learning a lot about Chaco Canyon with Dabney Ford. She's a retired archaeologist, worked up at Chaco for 33 years. Hilary Grabowska is a park ranger currently in Chaco Canyon. Wendy Bustard is the museum curator. Brenna Lissaway is the archivist for Chaco Canyon. And Rowan is here as a junior ranger. We're going to talk to you about that in a minute. But Liliana has a question for you all.
Who are the people who lived there?
Well, they are the ancestors of all of the Native Americans who live in this region today. So, and they may have come from all over the Four Corners area, what we now think of as Colorado, Arizona, Utah, New Mexico. That's kind of the center of this society, this culture. And they may have come from in from their homes that were 100, 200 miles away to visit Chaco or use Chaco or even live in Chaco. And then they moved out into the areas where tribal people live today.
How are you able to learn and discover all of this about stuff that was so far in the past?
Well, archaeology is the study of the past, and so we use very traditional archaeological methods, that is excavation and analysis of what we find and where we find it. But there are all sorts of other interdisciplinary studies that go into understanding prehistory, chemistry, biology, zoology,
geology.
So it's a combination of lots of science, and we have very little data. When you excavate, there really isn't much left, but we mine it for everything it's worth. But most importantly, we talk to the descendants of these people who live there and try and understand their history and how they remember that history of 1,000-plus years ago.
What's it like being a junior ranger?
It's like being like a ranger, except you like have like, you're like smaller than one, and you have like a different like hat or something. Like, I don't know what.
You have a badge.
Yes.
How do you get to be a junior ranger?
Well, a regular ranger gives you like this book, and tells you how many pages you have to do. Mm-hmm. And if you do all of those pages, and you come back and show it to the ranger, they give you a badge.
You have a couple badges. Pretty neat. Do you like Chaco Canyon?
I have never won a badge for Chaco Canyon.
I bet you're on your way, I bet.
Yes.
Knowing you.
Yes.
You'll have that badge soon. Do you think you might be a ranger, kind of like our friend Hillary here? Are you going to be a ranger just like Hillary when you grow up?
Do
you
I don't really know about that. I haven't really decided about that yet.
You don't have to decide yet, but pretty cool. You're listening to the Children's Hour, and we're loving talking to our friends from Chaco Canyon, and so thanks for listening. You can find out, we're posting pictures left and right, and we have some stuff that just came in out of this magical box. We're going to talk more about that in a little bit, and the people from Chaco Canyon who are here are really quite the experts in Chaco Canyon. There's a lot more to learn, including how can kids and families best enjoy Chaco Canyon. But that's all coming up.
You're listening to the Children's Hour. This is 89.9 KUNM and KUNM.org, live and local from the University of New Mexico.
This is the Children's Hour here on KUNM. We're broadcasting from the top floor of Oñate Hall here on the campus of the University of New Mexico. Big studio full of people, including some of our friends from Chaco Canyon. And Chaco Canyon is a World Heritage Site in New Mexico, just about 100 miles northwest of Albuquerque, and really one of the most magical places ever. I would say, like, I'm exaggerating, but I'm really not exaggerating. It is really one of the most magical places ever. Roads from Chaco go every which way. In fact, the experts know they really go every which way. Do they not go every which way? Somebody knows?
Yes, they do. They go north, south. A few of them go east, and a lot go west. One goes almost all the way up to Aztec ruins in northwest New Mexico. And that's how many miles is that?
40 miles.
40 miles.
And then goes beyond that.
But what's crazy is these roads, you can still see these roads. You can still walk on these roads, even though Chaco Canyon was abandoned at around 1100 AD. We have to ask that. Why was Chaco Canyon abandoned?
That's the question. We don't know. That is our answer to many questions. We just don't know a lot about Chaco. And so we know that they left. We know that they eventually became the modern native people of New Mexico. But why did they leave at that time? There are many options. We don't know which one it is.
The rumor has always been there was a terrible drought. And that's why they left.
We've heard that rumor, too. But it's probably a little more complex than that. Maybe it had to do with political changes. We all understand that, don't we?
Mm.
And maybe Chaco, the experiment was done. Maybe it was easier to continue with Chaco in other places. Maybe instead of a single place, you know, a very concentrated center, it was more effective to have localized areas like Aztec or maybe along the Chusca Mountains or down at Zuni or maybe over here in the Rio Grande. So there's a lot of the social and political reasons that don't
get preserved
in the dirt.
No, they don't. One of the things about Chaco that I've always wondered as I've gone up there and wandered around is how did this not fall apart? I mean, it is a ruin in that there's no roofs anymore to some of the rooms, but actually some of the rooms do have roofs. So their construction was so good. And remember, we're in a rift zone, which has minor earthquakes that didn't seem to affect Chaco. And the other piece about Chaco that I always wanted to know is the timber that's used in Chaco Canyon. So it's basically made of stones, all the buildings. And then there's these giant logs and that are, were the roof beam supports. But they're huge. And you look around you at Chaco, there are no trees of that size anywhere near there. And, you know, these weren't people who had a flatbed truck who could just throw a big tree on there or had a train. How did this happen? How long did Chaco take to construct? Do we know?
Yes. The trees, in addition to being really a key part of the architectural elements, and there were hundreds of thousands of trees cut and brought into Chaco, but they also tell us a story of when the tree ring dating tells us when the trees were cut, and chemically we know where they grew.
Where?
And they grew mostly in the Chusca Mountains along the border of New Mexico and Arizona, but they also, some of them came from the Zuni Mountains south of Chaco, and we're talking 60, 70 miles.
So we don't really know. We can only guess. I mean, these are not logs that you just, you know, you
pick
and your
up.
Buddy pick up. They
no,
must
you
weigh
don't.
Thousands of pounds.
They do.
I mean, even just the technology to cut down a tree that size is fairly amazing.
And they use stone axes.
That's incredible.
So what that tells us is there's a lot of organization going on, that there's somebody, lots of people up in the mountains who are saying, we know there's a market for these big, beautiful timbers, right? And then there's somebody down in Chaco saying, yeah, I want those things. And did they barter and trade for them? Did they go up and get them themselves? Did they use it as a form of taxation? You bring a tree and you get to sit in the Plaza Pueblo Benito. Don't know any of those things. But you gotta believe that there's something, some type of commerce going on there.
So to remember that long before the Spanish came, there was very organized, local, here in New Mexico and all over the Southwest, forms of what we would call government and towns and people. It was quite the civilization. And we sometimes learn in our history books that the United States was uncivilized until the Spanish and the white people came. But guess what? Clearly Chaco shows us this is not a disorganized, uncivilized society. This is a very, very organized, highly civilized society. One of the greatest things about Chaco Canyon is the sun dagger and the lunar cycling that are you able to explain this at all so a kid can understand it? When the sun shines through this crack, it hits this beautiful piece of art, and it's only certain days.
It happens to mark, in that particular example, and there are dozens and dozens.
Oh, there's dozens at Chaco?
Of examples of astronomical predictors or markers. Yeah, the canyon is full of them, and that one is spectacular because it's up on the top of this butte. It's a little bit unusual in that it marks zenith. That is, it marks noontime, the middle of the day. Many markers function in sunrise or sunsets, during sunrises and sunsets. So these people, in addition to having that kind of commerce, they had a really deep understanding of geometry and engineering. You talked about the durability of the buildings. And mm-hmm. then they understood their environment, including what's going on in the sky and how the earth and the sky relate to one another. And they monumented that by these markers.
It's fascinating. And there's another marker marking the 17-year periodic cycle of the moon. I mean, did you even know there was a 17-year periodic cycle of the moon? Until I saw that movie on Chaco Canyon, I never knew. I want to bring in also Brenna and Wendy. I want to talk to you about the things you've brought into our studio. You've brought in a lot of photos, and you've brought in a lot of samples, and we have pictures we posted to our Facebook page, at KUNM Kids. What are these things you brought to us?
Well, over the years, we have actually amassed a very large museum collection. Brenna and I manage a collection that's 2.4 million things.
Whoa.
Now, a lot of those things are really small, like these dice or these projectile points. But we have also the big prehistoric figas. We've got big metates and manos. Do you know what metates and manos are?
Matate, mano, anybody?
Anybody yeah, know
go
that?
For Iris seems to know.
Okay.
Do you grind corn with it?
Absolutely. That's right. And they're massive sandstone. It takes four guys to lift one of them. They're really big. And that was actually women's work back then.
My neighbor is a weightlifter, and if she's listening, I know you can lift that. And it didn't take guys. It probably took women like you.
Yeah. But yeah, they didn't move them very often is what we think. They stayed there. But what we have in the collection are the smaller things, and I brought in today some replicas. I brought in some real pieces of broken pottery, but we have some pottery toys, little animals. They made a lot of effigies. Does anyone know what an effigy is?
Effigy?
Do you know what that word is?
Zozobra is an effigy.
Yeah, it's a representation of something else. So this guy, I'm pretty sure, represents a badger.
Wow. Do you think these are toys?
I think so, yeah.
They just made toys for their kids?
Yes.
And these other ones, how do you know they're dice? I don't know. Did we get a picture posted of the dice? I'm just curious, Gary. Did we get a picture posted of the dice?
Okay.
So the picture we just posted to at KUNM Kids at Facebook, those. And then this is not a square dice, I'm just pointing out. How do you know that's a dice?
No, it doesn't look at all like our modern dice. I think part of it is we can't think of any other explanation. But also part of it is I think historically they're, especially back when the Spanish first came and then written records started to happen, is that people were still using these kinds of gaming pieces, is what we call them. We don't know the games they played with them, but we're thinking they're games. It's for entertainment.
You have pictures all over, Brenna. Who are this? What are these? These look like pictures from digs, are they?
That's right. So in order to understand a lot of the artifacts that were discovered at Chaco, there was a lot of information that was collected on those artifacts and pictures that were taken of the activities of archaeologists in that work. So, yeah, I've got pictures that date back actually to the 1890s showing artifacts that were actually not yet removed from some of the sites at Chaco.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because there's archaeological work. You can see photos of some of the archaeological work done in the 1920s where they actually built railroad lines into some of the larger sites and in order to remove dirt and debris and that sort of thing in large quantities. So it's not exactly how it's done today. Dabney could talk more about. But it really does show sort of some of the history of these artifacts and how they were located.
I was really shocked. I went to the Field Museum a couple weeks ago in Chicago, and they have a giant Pueblo Chacoan era room. And I was telling Brenna earlier when we were setting up the show, the section on Chaco really shocked me. A, they have so many things. Like, why are they in Chicago? And this was a whole, I will post this photo. I took a panorama of the display because it was so shocking to me. And I guess what was shocking to me is with my son is we're like, these belong in New Mexico. They were all from New Mexico practically. And they were gorgeous. They were full pots, not broken. They were jewels, not disturbed. Was Chaco raided at one point? I just have to ask. I mean, I know I shouldn't. I'm sorry, Field Museum, if you're listening. But was it? Because it seemed like these were from, they were dating them in the 1800s. And I was like, wait a second. I don't think Chaco was protected in the, we weren't even a state.
Actually, one of the reasons that we now are protected and all of federal land is protected is because of what happened at Chaco. In the 1890s, it was a free-for-all. You could come to New Mexico, and they did, and they dug it up. And most of those collections are, they're in New York, they're in Washington, D.C., they're in Chicago, some are in London, I think also South Africa.
I'm guessing people have them in their personal collections.
Probably.
And if you're a listener and you have ancient pottery or ancient anything in your collection, take a thought, maybe, about where that really belongs, and shouldn't we all be able to enjoy that piece?
That's right. And people in New Mexico in the early 1900s were upset about what was happening, and they got a law passed, and it's called the Antiquities Act. And from 1906 on, all of the federal land and the archaeology is now protected.
Tell us, we're running out of time, but very quickly, Chaco is approaching a birthday. Am I right? You guys are like, close. Or the national parks are. Am I right?
This coming Friday will be our 101st birthday as the National Park Service.
Wow.
But this past March, March 11th, was the 110th anniversary of the creation of Chaco culture as a national park. At the time, we were a national monument.
Wow. Before we totally run out of time, families considering going to Chaco Canyon with their kids. And I've always camped, but, you know, it dawned on me as I was driving over today, you could probably do Chaco in a day from Albuquerque, although you won't want to leave. so you may wish to camp. But what do you recommend?
We recommend a couple hours at least if you're just going to do a day trip. If you see just Pueblo Bonito, you've seen the main highlight, and I call that a pretty successful trip, but we like you to stay a little longer and to camp with us.
You have a museum on site?
Not at the moment, no. We're in the process of putting that together.
Where are you? Where are your collections stored? Not publicly available yet. I take it.
No, as Hillary said, we're working on an exhibit, but the collections are stored actually here on the university campus.
And are you affiliated with the university?
No, I work for the park.
And so to learn more about Chaco Hands-On, you have Kids Guide to Exploring Chaco Culture, which is a little booklet that I think you can get from the Visitor Center, if I'm not mistaken. Or
no,
where do we get these?
We've actually run out of these books, so these are limited supply.
Wow. Wow. A limited supply. Well, I think we could probably get away with giving away a couple, shall we? Shall we? Got the kids in the studio giving me looks. Let's give away these books. We have four to give away. We'll give away four and we'll save a couple. We actually have more than four. Okay, let's give away five of them. And we will take every caller. I think we should just, but you must be a person with a child if you're calling, or you must be a child and know how to tell us your mailing address to get this. And actually, I think we'll do this as a Facebook giveaway because we're running out of time. So if you could go on to Facebook at KUNM Kids, at KUNM Kids. That's go to Facebook.com at KUNM Kids. And go ahead and comment on we'll take a picture of these and make a comment. And don't give us your address on Facebook. We will contact you and we will you can win a copy of these. And I think we actually have five of these to give out. So thank you for those. And Chaco Canyon National Historical Park has a website. It's kind of complicated because it's through the national park thing. So it's like .gov, but it's this long thing before it. But if you Google search Chaco Canyon National Historical Park, you can get all kinds of information, maps, photos, where to camp. You can actually schedule your camping in advance so that you have a place to go. Camp. I'd highly recommend you make a reservation because Chaco gets very popular. Is there a time of year we shouldn't? Yeah, please. Go
ahead. We also have a Facebook page.
Oh, you have a Facebook page.
We have Facebook, we have Twitter, we have Instagram. Our website's actually pretty easy. It's just nps.gov/chcu.
Oh, wow, it's that easy.
Yep.
Usually they're really hard. You guys lucked out. They like you the best. You are listening to the Children's Hour. We've been talking about Chaco Canyon and with our guests in the studio. Dabney Ford, thank you for being with us, a retired archaeologist, 33 years up at Chaco Canyon. And I don't know how you could have retired from that job because it sounds like a great job. Hillary Grabowska is a park ranger. You will see her. Do you lead tours or anything?
I do. You'll see me most definitely at the front desk. I swear in junior rangers all the time.
Fantastic. Our junior ranger in the studio, Rowan, and Brenna Lissaway is our archivist, and Wendy Bustard is the museum curator for the 2 million artifacts from Chaco Canyon. They'd have 5 million if people would turn in all the stuff they have in their house. Yay. And remember the big rule, if you find a ruin, because, you know, it's very likely at Chaco Canyon you will find a pot shard or an arrow point. What do we do, Hillary? I find myself looking at it and I say, do I just leave it? What do we do?
You're more than welcome to look at it, take a picture of it, but please leave it where you find it. We want to leave everything where it is so that the next visitor will be able to experience that same moment of awe that you experienced.
I love it. Don't touch it, but leave it. Yes, Rowan, one more comment, please.
What if you accidentally step on it?
Good point.
It's a good point. So you want to always watch where you're stepping to and stay on the path.
Exactly. And Chaco has many wonderful paths to explore. You get to go into the buildings. You will not have a disappointing time if you visit Chaco Canyon, and a great place to go with kids. Thank you all so much for being with us on the Children's Hour this morning. We could go on and on for another hour, but thank you so much for being with us. We sure appreciate it. And you're tuned to the Children's Hour right here on KUNM. This is called Chaco. It's by, let's give it a chance, Katie, Ilya Kuryaki and the Valderramas. Something like that. This is the Children's Hour.
Yeah. Holiday in Chaco, com tu mamenta. Holiday in Chaco, com tu caseta. Holiday in Chaco, com tu mamenta. Holiday in Chaco, con tu cosita. Todo se remite a ver lo que es. Parado frente a mí no lo podrás ver. Húndete en el Chaco y comienza a rezar. Que del impenetrable no podrás zafar. Salva de mis venas, tierra de jaguar. Árbol, sangre verde que tú quieres podar. Dame
las bendiciones. Hay que despertar. Chaco, piel de indio, nunca morirás en él. Chaco. Estoy bailando en el Chaco. A mí me gusta el Chaco. Estoy bailando en Chaco. Holiday en Chaco con tu mameta. Holiday en Chaco con tu coseta. Holiday en Chaco con tu mameta. Holiday en Chaco, en Chaco, en Chaco. Holiday en Chaco con tu mameta. Holiday en Chaco con tu coseta. Holiday en Chaco con tu mameta. Holiday en Chaco contigo desnudita. Mis piernas son hierbas que sirven de enlace. Pretendo atraparte y reírme en tu viaje. Noche chaqueña, luna plateada. Lo nuestro se encuentra, es una llamarada. No fue tan cruel la mujer del Wailo. Cruzando el viento quemó el horario. Pidió perdón a los allí presentes y dio su vida para que lo pienses. Porque los Wailos no entran al Chaco. Porque tu Wailo no entras al Chaco. Los Wailos no entran al Chaco. Porque tu Wailo no entras al Chaco. Holiday en Chaco con tu mameta. Holiday en Chaco con tu cosita. Holiday en Chaco con tu mameta. Holiday en Chaco, en Chaco, en Chaco. Holiday en Chaco con tu mameta. Holiday en Chaco con tu cosita. Holiday en Chaco con tu mameta. Holiday en Chaco, contigo desnudista. Seferino, te adoro, nunca usaste trajes de oro. Los niños comieron gracias a tu tesoro. Propongo mi paladar para dar verdad. La venda de tus ojos casi no volverá. Hombre, al presente planeas indignarlo. Usando nuestras tierras tu basura irás creando. Pero no te das cuenta que la tierra es Chaco. El viento tornará tu frágil alma en un charco. Charco de sangre, sangre incolora. El agua que tomas, el agua te toma. Chaco.
For the KUNM Kids Birthday Club. Kids get a gift in the mail and a birthday shout out on the air.
Happy birthday, today is your birthday.
Like Cedar Shiloh McQuinn McCall from Albuquerque, who's turning 11 years old today.
Happy birthday, Cedar.
Also from Albuquerque, Harmony Maces is turning 4 years old tomorrow.
Happy birthday, Harmony.
On Tuesday, Luciana Bass from Albuquerque is turning 6 years old.
Happy birthday, Luciana.
And on Thursday, Oliver Abbott from Albuquerque is turning 8 years old. Happy birthday, Oliver.
Also on Thursday, Sean Christopher is turning 11 years old in Albuquerque.
Happy birthday, Sean.
These kids get a gift and a birthday shout out on air just for being in K&M Kids Birthday Club.
Join the club is easy. Email us at kunmkids at KUNM.org with your name, birthday, and mailing address.
Find our playlists and podcasts at KUNM.org on the Children's Hour page.
We're on Facebook and Twitter at KUNM Kids.
The Children's Hour is produced by KUNM Kids crew and Katie Stone from the studios of KUNM in Albuquerque, New Mexico.